speak the particular statement.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. We are going to be talking about the big data that science is using, but when they're using it, are they getting the, scientific results they should? Well, according to one scientist or a group of them, they are not. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to be talking about a little bit of your health care, and a lot of health care topics in the mix tonight. And we do have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. And I'm hitting knees seeking Lord's faith. And today's devotional, we're in Matthew, and we're told that the righteous shine forth as the sun. And God has ears to hear the righteous, Matthew 13.
And so I encourage everybody to, you know, dust the Bible off, get in there, seek the Lord's face, mind the time, it grows short, because that is the way. Without further ado, let's do the quack report. I'm assuming crackers rolled, Frank, because you turned off my headset. All right. All right. So we're going to roll right along here in the quacker. First up is a little bit of artificial intelligence. This is University of Iowa Hospital and Clinics. They say they're using artificial intelligence now to diagnose patients in eastern Iowa. So they have employed this new technology. And it first was used at university hospitals, but now they're rolling it out full time. So right now they're limiting the diagnosis to diabetes endocrinology center, and they hope to expand it to other illnesses in the near future. So computers will be diagnosing in Iowa. Last but not least in the quack report, this is an interesting little survey. They wanted to find out what the average person's, perception of a perfect day was. I know, Frank, you probably have your druthers of what a perfect day would entail. But this recent survey got some common characteristics of the ideal day of the average person. The results were showing we typically enjoy 15 perfect days a year. That's the average person will fit in, apparently. And most of the perfect days from these folks were trivial activities, nothing major. So they found the average person is happiest if they wake up at 8:15 in the morning or a little later. They get to sleep in a little. The perfect day also would have sunny spring-like forecasts, temperatures reaching maybe 74 degrees, and also being able to enjoy 3 hours outside during that day. They also want to spend about 4 hours with family and friends, and then a few hours in the evening watching a little TV and relaxing on the sofa. So with all this is said and done, the perfect day would end with hopping into bed around 10:50 in the evening, almost 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, haven't had an awful one in a while. Well, that's good. Frank's got some really good days there. That's good. Then there's the mood boosters, according to the survey results. They said most participants agreed that finding money in their pocket they forgot about is a mood booster by about 58%. Sleeping in without having to wake up with an alarm, another mood booster, 55%. Lying in bed listening to the rain, one of my favorite things to do, 51%. Those are the surefire ways they said to improve your day. Not far behind that was receiving an act of kindness, 49%, petting their dog, 48%, and performing an act of kindness for someone else, 47%. So giving a little as you get a little, always a mood booster in your perfect day. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, Frank. My idea of a perfect day is not having a boss. Yeah, that's my idea. All right, we're going to be talking about the science and the big data that science is using and how this is filtering down into healthcare and treatments. Because big data is real. It is a threat when software is really successful at assessing this big data, organizing it, and then using it where it should not be used. So this includes data that is really inaccurate, and then wrong outcomes are used. So we're not talking about, you know, assessments of statistics on mortality and energy use for weather patterns and things like that. The big data I'm talking about is being used in scientific research that can impact behavior and then health treatments. So another aspect to the big data is involving these mega surveillances in which, you know, privacy is becoming a dinosaur. So when privacy becomes extinct from society, it kind of leaves a void in which it's going to be filled with more technology. So social media has really assisted in that venture, and it was volunteered. So we're going to take a look at some of this big data and how big data can go awry. There's this big data study. Researchers at the University of California in Berkeley reported in November 2017 and then again in June 2018 in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that when medical science uses large samples of human subjects in their research, they may be missing the boat on what makes humans sick and then assessing human behavior and also treatment. So this is large data studies. So according to the research team, they said, this is by Professor Aaron Fisher, U.S. Berkeley. He says, big data approaches may be widely off the mark, end of quote. Okay, so why is large sample pools and research the wrong way to go? Because that's all we've been hearing for decades is that it was too small a sample group to mean anything. You got to have more data. Well, the report states that we are not all cookie-cutter humans and that emotions and behavior and physiology vary from one person to another. So situations will influence us and our behavior, and therefore the average data collected from a lot of these large group studies is not completely accurate. So the research team is really concerned that the big data studies may have a negative impact on various areas such as mining social media data, customizing health therapies, can change how research is analyzed, can change how behavior and disease is diagnosed, can change the treatment of mental health, and also can change the treatment of physical disorders. Here is another quote from Professor Fisher. He says, if you want to know what individuals feel and how they become sick, you have to conduct research on individuals, not on groups. Diseases, mental disorders, emotions, and behaviors are expressed within individual people over time. A snapshot of many people at one moment in time can't capture those dynamics. End of quote. So what are the consequences? Well, according to the research team, when a large data pool is used in scientific medicine research, it lends itself to consequences in misdiagnosis, prescribing the wrong treatment, and in general, perpetuates scientific theory and more experimentation, and the data is not properly calibrated with differences in individuals. So Professor Fisher really suggested that scientific medical research should be conducted as having some potential to investigate care options for individualized medicine, so tailored medicine, I guess. So technology is really making it a lot easier to harvest a lot of data on individuals, which, if done properly, could offer analysis not possible before in medical science. So, but I also want to touch on the Drexel study, because Professor Fisher, to prove his point on large study groups of people will offer misleading results, he and other researchers at Drexel University in Pennsylvania, along with the University of Groningen in the Netherlands, they gathered a lot of statistical information on several models of data in hundreds of people, and some were healthy and some were not. So they were using six different studies, and they analyzed the data, which consequently showed what was indicated for a group of people was not necessarily the case for individuals. So an example of a large group of people that had depression, they found that their worry actually could range from zero to acute. And the study gave a median average for the entire group regarding worry. So it would appear that scientific medical studies really in large groups are grading the results on the curve. You know, when you're in college and the professor graded on the curve, your A paper became a B paper because of the curve. See? All right. So we got a big data automat going on here. And here is an interesting element to big data capture. And it tends to involve these algorithms that are in software to replace human experience and intuition. So when it comes to analyzing all the data and then sorting it, the programs are handling the data, sort it, and are only as going to be as good as the program itself. So in October, 2015, MIT designed this program called Data Science Machine. And what it does is it analyzes all this big data and these big data sets using patterns and designs and sets and then assigning values to the data sets. So the software looked also at predictive patterns and unfamiliar sets of data. So the test actually showed the software outperformed humans at the task, especially with predictive power. So to be predictive at a high level of accuracy, the program needed to outperform human intuition. So the program could be used, let's say, to predict the stock market or which planes may crash or who is most likely to drop out of school or commit a crime. So the program was reported to be 94 to 96% accurate. So artificial intelligence is about to be everywhere and in everyone's life. So if a long, for a long time, you know, this data has been collected but on people, but, you know, until now, they didn't have the systems to handle the data. They weren't in place yet. But here they are. Well, let's look at some of the implications. I want you to think of the vast capabilities of such technology that I'm talking about, because it is as close to a scientific crystal ball as you can get, really. So how long will it be before, you know, let's say companies start using this technology to, like, weed out job applicants? Or banks may want to know who is more likely to embezzle money, or maybe governments want to use it to see who would be a good candidate for a spy. So how about entrepreneurs who maybe want to borrow capital, and normally their business plan and their credentials would be acceptable to qualify for the loan, but the individual analysis of the owner may show something else. So just buying a plane ticket or applying for a gun permit could become a whole new ballgame. And what if banks using this technology decided that you're really likely to overdraw your account or default on a loan? And what if they locked your account ahead of time? So the technology is ripe for abuse. So where are we with the laws to protect us from artificial intelligence like this? Well, good question. What's going on the Hill? According to some regulatory action on Capitol Hill, the laws in place regarding artificial intelligence are very general in nature. And according to the Hill in February 2018, the laws that we have generally address things like privacy issues, cybersecurity, unfair and deceptive trade acts and practices, due process, health and safety rules covering technology, and financial algorithm protections. But there's a problem with these general guidelines. One component of artificial intelligence is who's liable if you can't sue a computer or a robot. And there are also no real laws in place that totally protect consumers, private citizens, the individual. So just look at the problems with the no-driver cars, you know. And Congress is kind of hasn't caught up with the technology yet. And many politicians are having difficulty wrapping their brains around this new vocabulary that goes with it and what the true impact of the technology is. Here is a quote from some of the professionals that expressed views and contributed them to the Hill. They said, if companies making the technology don't make legislators or regulators aware of their industry's best practices and model policies or codes of conduct, there is no chance politicians can draft bills as a guide that will work, end of quote. Well, that's a good point, right? They may be writing bills now that dig a hole. You never know. Well, let's assess the impact, because many people kind of feel like they're being run over by technology today. So within a few short years, your computer programs, your phones, and other devices get outdated. So update and upgrade are so prevalent in our vocabulary today that nothing seems permanent and everything is disposable. So it can seem like a daunting task to keep up with the big data. And it seems ironic that our computers may be better connected than we are with each other. So don't let the tsunami of artificial intelligence and technology overtake you, and be aware that it has its flaws. Realize that scientific medicine is a working theory full of assumptions, hypotheses, and generalized data assigned into medium assessments. And because of this, medical tests have a 20% error margin. So individual uniqueness has really not entered into even animal or human studies. Therefore, science has made really humanity into one big experiment. But knowledge is power, so you want to be aware that there is more than one way to correct health problems, and that modern medicine may not recognize them because of their way of doing research. Their generalized methods will explain why maybe vaccines for large animals are the same doses as for small animals. So it normally takes a medical doctor 25 years of practice to figure out that the standard dose does not fit all, and there are varied exceptions. So while pharmaceutical products offer toxins and side effects, you know, your medicinal herbs have a gentler side. So herbs are whole food medicines, and they offer the human body the option to use what it needs and void out what it does not. So it is my experience, when people tend to mix your herbs with your drugs, they can offer negative results. So I advise against mixing those. So it is, you know, being proactive and being informed when you use your natural therapies is the key. So if you want more information on your herbal cleanses, herbs for immune boosting, herbs for metabolic support, you might want to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a toll-free number in the United States and Canada, and they'll send you a free product catalog if you'd like. The number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. The website is thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com, because that's where your health care options just became endless. And I mean options. And, you know, taking the power back is a good thing. Feel more in control. And I think in many instances, majority of them, less risk. Now, if you are on the website, thepowerherbs.com, feel free to sign up for their free online newsletters. You have to have email to receive them. But they have a couple of them that go out each week. To empower you, there's the Financial Survival, or should say American Survival newsletter, and the folks from Financial Survival also contribute articles to that. And then there's the Health Quest that comes out towards the end of the week, and that contains a lot of your natural health articles. So more information is under the Books and Newsletters tab on thepowerherbs.com if you want to sign up there. And if you're on there now, you probably noticed, or if you're on the mailing list, you probably got an email announcing two new formulas. They have the kidney stone formula, and they also have the adrenal gland formula. So you don't want to miss out on finding out about that. And they are available right now on the website. Not listed in the catalog, because the catalog was published before the formulas were ready to roll. So we're in the process of getting a little flyer and insert that into the catalog so people know about it. But you can view them on the powerherbs.com website and check them out there. Details are there. All right, so we're going to be also rolling along here. And, you know, since we were talking about a little bit about technology, there was, you all know who Sandra Bullock is, right, the actress. You know, in 1995, she came out with this movie. She came out with this movie, and it was about technology. Now, if you looked at the movie, you know, the technology looks already antiquated in 1995. The movie was called The Net. And this movie kind of gave you a glimpse into the current problem we're facing with big data. It's a data dilemma, is what it is. So a majority of us really don't pay that much attention to some of these subliminal messages in movies that they're sending us, which, you know, has, through technology, identified a lot of things that would happen, you know, identity theft, for instance. So what happens is, you know, this movie looks at technology, but, you know, some of the technology in the movie almost looks like a Model T car compared to what we have today with the ultra-thin touch screens and all this. But you generally get the idea of what's going down. What the movie reveals is there's a huge data risk in technology and exposes us all to what is called in the movie the electronic shadow. Hey, Frank, did you remember seeing this movie? Do you remember this at all? Yeah. This really casts a different light on the techno-filled lives. The shadow is described, as a gloomy ghost of darkness and secrecy. But the path technology tends to replace a lot of the mainstays in our lives. We're getting rid of tangible currency, paper documents, and we're all going to the convenience of technology, which makes us more at risk. There's no zero risk there. Yeah. Anybody can erase a digital file. That can actually probably erase your life with one click. So data is becoming like gold. It's becoming its own currency in itself. And data is so valuable because with the technology, it offers the person who has the data control. That's what it does. So if you're out there and you're struggling to keep up with the technology, I feel you. Really, I do. For a long time, I struggled. I resisted getting rid of my flip phone. Remember that, Frank? Looked like something Captain Kirk had. And my kids would, just tease me about not having a smartphone. So I finally got a smartphone. But I just feel awash with all the add-ons that you can do with all this technology. And it's all these little icon. And just the word icon bothers me too, it's almost like it's more symbolism, a way of communicating through symbols, like hieroglyphics is the way I look at it. So our art of communication is also kind of being changed. Frank thinks Satan's behind the whole thing. And hey, I feel you on that. I mean, when there's a dark side to anything, obviously, that's where it's stemming from. So, I get that people are a little, and then with the elderly not into Facebook, and that's how their children and grandchildren are communicating, so they feel a little left out. Have you seen this new consumer cellulars come out with the granny pad? It's like a tablet. That's very simple for Granny to use, so she can connect through Facebook and Wi-Fi and all that stuff and get pictures and stuff for her grandkids and whatever. So they got the Granny pad now, right? What's next? I don't know. All this technology does have an Achilles heel. Every civilization has an Achilles, whether it's financial, health, or defense. There's an Achilles heel. And we found that out in 2001 with Wall Street, didn't we? Yeah, we did. I know, we're coming up to a break, so I'm going to jump into this a little bit on the other side briefly, and then we're going to go into some other things on health. We'll be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Two million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. 229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free, 866-229-3663, or international callers, 704-875-8010. That's toll free, 866-229-3663, or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Thanks for joining us here on Herb Talk, and I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're talking about the electronic shadow. That's right. We are talking about the data dilemma and the electronic shadow, all this massive data is creating. We've seen the banks, we've seen major health insurance companies all get hacked. Blue Cross Blue Shield, Amerigroup, CareMore, Unicare, HealthLink, DeCare, Anthem Inc. These all got breached. Their information was stolen, names, birth dates, social security numbers, physical addresses, email addresses, employment information, including income data. And, of course, most companies now, if you work for them, they may require some sort of drug testing or physical exam. And all that stuff is stored in there. So 80 million customer records were accessed and hacked. And this is just, you know, a precursor to the electronic shadow about to take over. So little by little, you know, our entire lives are getting stored on computer chips. Infrastructures displaying our lives like neon billboards. So hackers, on even unethical governments, can take advantage and, you know, prime for abuse. Now, the FBI actually looked into the hack job of J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, if you remember that. What happened, there was some fake transactions through the banking SWIFT network, which distributes money to banks and to credit cards. So the bank hackers got in through email. And it's a global problem with banks. It's not just, you know, here in the U.S. And so banks are revealing there are problems, and it is, you know, they're taking a confidence hit, you know, from their customers on this. Thieves have an array of sophisticated malware, botnets, and other creative mechanisms to get around the bank security systems and get the data that they want. So it's a game for them, but, you know, it wrecks our lives all the same. So the banks and the medical databases, they're never, in my opinion, will be secure. One hack is all it would take to wipe out or alter your medical or financial history. So the new credit cards issued, you know, have those tracking chips in them now, supposedly to curb fraud. But, you know, there's this quantum physics involved in the banking industry and the numbers. The number strings, supposedly to secure your internet banking. I do no online banking, by the way. I refuse. So these quad chips in quantum physics are designed by engineers at MIT. And what they do is they perform an algorithm to break those long data strings of prime numbers used in the electronic marketplace to secure all these transactions, you know, the encryption codes. So the quad chip can break these security codes in a matter of minutes, but you're not supposed to know that. So tangible means just that. It means tangible asset. You hold it. You possess it. We're going from all this tangible to non-tangible, and it just upsets me. I don't know about you. I got a call from an investor a while back, and he's, you know, well, I don't know what they think. People think you own a business and you're rolling in dough and you need to invest it in something. So he's talking, running his mouth about, you know, putting your money, you know, diversify and this and that and portfolio this and that. And I'm like, I got to ask you a question. If there's another collapse like there was in, you know, 2001, right, are you going to be at the other end of the phone when I call up and want my money? There was silence on the other end of this phone. I said, yeah, so when there's total pandemonium and you watch the stocks, you know, just, you know, evaporate, your money just goes away. I mean, who are you going to call, right? But if you have tangible assets, you know, you don't have to worry about that. I think gold and silver is a tangible asset. That's why I love the folks at Discount Gold and Silver. You can give them a call and get some tangible asset and have a little bit of security. And, you know, get some things you can barter with, like coffee and rimfire, tools, herbs, seeds. You know, when in a pinch, you have something to barter with. When, you know, you can't use your debit card, you can't swipe nothing. Right? I love it though, Frank. When you go to the grocery store, these high school and college kids, they can't make change. They're so used to people swiping their cards, and they're just waiting for the tape to come out of the register and tell you, thanks for shopping. Have a nice day. You give them, you know, money and then some change to round up or something, they're totally lost. All right. I mean, you know, you could make a game of it, but I feel sorry for them. I really do. They weren't taught to make change in their heads. They just don't know anything about it. I think I went to one bike shop once, Frank. Let me tell you about this. I had a bike repaired, and I go to pick it up, right? I had called ahead to find out how much it was. So I had the exact amount of money with me for the bill. And I give it to, get this, the owner. And he's looking at this money like he doesn't know what he's looking at. I'm like, is there a problem? And he's just staring at the money. I'm like, that's the exact amount I was told to bring. He goes, no, that's fine. It's like, it's foreign currency all of a sudden. Have you ever experienced that? And if you call your bank, I noticed this lately, if you call your bank for any reason, they have this pre-recording that comes on first. It says, stop writing checks. I don't write checks, but I'm just saying they're trying to get rid of, they're going to the digital stuff. So, all right. Off that soapbox for now. All right, so let's talk about what I call the Death Star of healthcare. if you into the Star Wars thing, you'll understand that term, Death Star. Some health professionals have said the Affordable Care Act has really become the Death Star to the free market healthcare system. The legislation for it, we haven't repealed it, so we still have it in power. According to U.S. National Library of Medicine and a peer review that was published in 2011, it stated that the efficiency of healthcare in the United States started to decline, they say, a decade earlier in 2001. So let's check this out and get a clear picture of how this is going to affect millions of people. So the American Society of Healthcare System Pharmacists and the FDA did a report and on a supply issue. Now, we've talked about this before, too, with regards to medications being in short supply. So this has gotten worse since they did this report in 2010. So the distribution and supply of a lot of medicines is influencing, having an impact on your health care. So as a manufacturer of natural medicines myself, I can attest that there are multiple things that can disrupt your production of your product line, things that aren't available anymore, packaging, materials, all kinds of equipment failures, so can't get a replacement. So, a lot of things can come into play, and all of a sudden you don't have the supply line for that particular medicine. Now, in 2010, Drug Information Services at the University of Utah Healthcare, they were tracking drug shortages on 211 drugs. The highest number recorded to date at that time was, they looked over it for a one-year period. The Healthcare Alliance reported the same thing. 240 meds were limited, not available. 400 generic meds were backordered. So we're going to take a look. So from 2006 to 2011, we went from 70 medications unavailable to 240 medications unavailable. So anywhere you can see, this is a rapid escalation in medical shortages, medicine. So according to the American Society and Health System Pharmacists, your drug shortages seem to be categorized as 23% of the time, it's a manufacturing problem. Supply and demand issues, 13% of the time. But a majority are classified as unknown reasons, 55% of the time. So they don't know why they can't get the medicine. Well, as we reported earlier, Puerto Rico is now home to a lot of these drug companies making stuff down there. All the generic meds are over in India or China being made and by small manufacturing facilities that really aren't overseen by the FDA at all. So a lot of drugs on the short list. You've got some antibiotics, of course. You got some heart medicines, IV medications. These are medications that you need. Hospitals need IVs. Pain medicines is on the list as well. If the patient's running out of medicine, but they stop making them, what are you going to do if there's no replacement drug? And that's what they're running into. There's not really any replacement drug. And this is a problem. When the patent runs out, you're absolutely right, Frank. When the patent runs out, what the drug companies do when they go generic is they send them overseas to be made, and they really could care less. They don't make as much money on them, so they quit worrying about them. But patients that are on these meds are worrying. So what's more alarming about the shortages, they also are extending to a lot of medical supplies, not just the drugs. So nurses around the country say they don't have enough equipment to do proper training for the jobs for safety of the patients. A peer review report said manufacturers of FDA-regulated medications or equipments are supposed to notify the FDA 6 months in advance if there's going to be shortages or if they plan to stop making those items. And it's supposed to be a warning system set up to help, regulate these disruptions so the supply chain isn't disrupted and things can stay in force. but apparently the terms of the FDA regulations do not have a statutory definition of medically necessary. So the manufacturers are not really required to legally notify the FDA. They're not penalized at all because, you know, again, we're playing with words again, you know. So the advanced warning system, no effect at all when it comes to drug shortages or equipment shortages in your healthcare system. So what you thought was going to be a safeguard, not helping, not helping. So the likelihood patients could be forced to use drugs made outside the U.S. is particularly high. And, of course, we've noticed some of the drugs made in China and some other places, poor quality. They call this non-traditional distributors or the gray market in healthcare. And, you know, the cost is going to be higher when these markets supply and demand, you know. So you're going to be paying more for poorer quality product. Isn't that nice? And so how is that going to impact patients? Well, good question. In 2010, the Institute of Safe Medication Practices did a report of 1,800 healthcare practitioners, including pharmacists, on the impact of drug shortages. And this is what they said. The most reported, 84%, that these people didn't receive advance warning the drug would not be available anymore. 84% of your pharmacies nationwide were blindsided. They also said there was difficulty rating or getting a comparable medicine, you know, a backup, a replacement medicine. 80% of the drugstores couldn't get a replacement drug for their customers, and doctors couldn't write a prescription for one. Also, the comparable medications that they did find increased the cost of the drug by 78%. So, again, poorer quality med, more money. Some medications overall weren't replaceable, period. 70% of they couldn't fit together a couple of drugs to make one drug or anything like that. It was just totally done. Medical professionals also stated the lack of medications increased adverse patient risks at treatment 64% of the time. And also 1,000 adverse patient events, near misses, really due to drug shortages developed. So 1,000 people almost died. Drug shortages can also extend the length of stay at a hospital, also increasing a patient's cost. And they estimate the drug shortages will cost $216 million a year. So Affordable Care Act, I don't know, it's going to handle that. But they say the patient is going to have to assume all this risk. That's right. So when there is short supply on drugs or pretty much healthcare in general, the patient assumes all the risk. The non-traditional drug suppliers are known to sell counterfeit drugs. And it's really kind of a crapshoot if the drug's going to work or not or offer more side effects. So what the research is showing is when the drugs disappear, there are devastating injuries, medication mistakes, inadequate doses, and sometimes death. And when doctors are forced to prescribe a different medicine, there is a risk that they are not familiar with that drug or its proper dose. And this kind of throws the standardized medicine out the window. And with this research emerging, there is a likelihood that some medications will begin to be rationed or unavailable for even certain people. So let's just get a grip on this. Patients who are dependent on daily drugs are going to run the risk of receiving no medication at all if it dries up. Where are you going to be then? So with the drug shortages becoming kind of a new reality in the United States, medical doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and even patients are growing more frustrated with this compromising situation. So what people are discovering is the FDA has limited power over the drug shortages, whether it's over-the-counter medicine, generic drugs, vaccines, biological agents, veterinary drugs, medical equipment, radiological products, nutraceuticals, whatever. So when the shortages become so severe, you can just forget rationing. I mean, this will be a new level of medical necessity. In other words, a life will be statistically calculated to see if there's significant value to save that person's life and give them the drug or not, if they have any. Now, at a November 2010 health summit in Bethesda, Maryland, one of the strategies the health agencies were discussing was patient criteria implemented to, quote, prioritize patients to receive drugs, you know, so which ones are going to get the drugs? So the doctors, the nurses, and the pharmacists involved in the patient care would use a checklist to determine if their patient meets the guidelines to receive the drug that's in short supply. But that didn't hit the media, did it? Kind of scary. It would just really upset people to know that. That's why you don't hear about it. Now, there are some physicians that are speaking out about the medical modalities because of the Affordable Care Act. Like Dr. Lee Heave, he's an orthopedic surgeon. He actually ran for political office as governor of Iowa. Of course, now Iowa, what is Iowa doing? They're getting into artificial intelligence. So according to Dr. Heave, the healthcare industry of America is heading for total collapse, reporting that there's a steady decline in the quality of the healthcare, the lack of supplies, lack of medications, and just total hospital care is at a catastrophic level, according to the doctor's opinion. So Dr. Heave is also the author of Surviving the Medical Meltdown book, referencing the effects of the Affordable Care Act in the United States. So that legislative bill did a whammy. Yeah. Oh, well, there's no affordable part of the healthcare, Frank. We all know that now. No affordable part in it. Now, according to Dr. Heave, patients aren't being able to get their thyroid medications or tetanus shots in some rural areas. Dr. Heave goes on to document that there's extended wait times by a lot of primary care doctors and even specialists. Also, there's not enough specialty doctors to cover ER calls, and the hospitals in rural or poor areas are closing as they can't afford to comply with all the new regulations with the Affordable Care Act. And one of the first signs of a healthcare system collapse really is hospital closings. Also, Dr. Heave witnessed a lack of staff and supplies available to treat those in one of the largest segments of healthcare in America, the Medicaid area. According to Dr. Heave, it will not take long, in the doctor's opinion, to hit a critical number of doctors leaving the profession. So a lot of aging populations require more physicians, more care. And, of course, doctors don't work for free. So more than half of your surgeons in the U.S. are over 50 years of age, and they're not being replaced fast enough with up-and-coming surgeons. So within a year or two, surgeons are going to be they're going to start reducing their workload because they're getting ready to retire, and they want to reduce their stress. So we have a healthcare system that experts are saying is really not sustainable. So now would be the time to educate yourself on what your options are and get those implemented before the 11th hour. So Dr. Heave advises people that in order to survive, you should acquire some healthy lifestyles, remove your toxins, like we've been telling people, do toxin removal. She also recommends people stockpile healthcare items for their families, especially the problem with that is if you're going to do like over the counter stuff, the shelf life's 2 years on all that stuff, maybe four. So you got to really check those expiration dates. According to Dr. Heave, here's what Dr. Heave says, quote, government being government will never ignore the chance to use a crisis to further its agenda of power and growth. But let's look around us. How has government done in the fields of education, banking, the post office, the DMV? The single source Medicare care is really lousy. So Medicare is the longer such a system exists, the worse it becomes. And by the time the Berlin Wall fell, and peeking into the world of the Soviet medicine, 57% of those hospitals there had no hot water, 36% had no water at all, and there were dead cats lying in the hallways, and needles were reused without sterilizations, end of quote. Yeah, that's what happens. Now, physicians that do remain in the healthcare system, they're going to wish they hadn't. According to Dr. Jane Orent, she's the editor of the Journal of the American Physicians and Surgeons Journal, says that the new healthcare in America monitors its doctors through electronic medical records. And according to Dr. Ornett, the Affordable Care Act keeps tabs on doctors through the digital database to monitor doctor activity. For instance, they'll be able to see if doctors are convincing their patients to get vaccinated. And she says that the system is set up to coerce doctors through intimidation and threats to comply. She also says it's demeaning and it's insulting, but it's very, very powerful. She admits that doctors are waking up to the latest science that suggests vaccines are not as safe and effective as authorities claim they are. And the system now pressures physicians into holding the official line with regards to vaccines, or they could mean the end of their medical career. Uh-oh. Well, there you go. People are motivated by reward and punishment. There you go. So now I think you get a little bit of the big picture. I think Dr. Heeb is correct. Dr. Ernest's spot on. We've got management problems. We've got supply problems. This can't go on much longer. So, you know, I think people, this opportune moment to look at ways to stabilize your metabolism, to strengthen it. Because medicines that prop it up tend to make it weaker. And over time, you can have a collapse of maybe the cardio system, the pancreatic system. There's just so much time you have to deal with this. And I think the sooner you get to it, the better. So if you'd like more information from the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they have the Organ Cleanse products to get rid of toxins. They have the immune-boosting formulas. They have a lot of formulas for metabolic support. They just came out with the kidney stone formula and the adrenal gland formula, which people were asking about. So you have tools. Learn how to use them. And, of course, the herbal tinctures have a 10-year shelf life. Yeah, that's right. And, by the way, if you're using any over-the-counter product or prescription drug that has expired, it's more toxic than before its expiration date. So know that. So never take an expired anything. So give them a call. Get a free catalog. Find out what your options are. 866-229-3663. That's Apothecary Herbs at 866-229-3663. That number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. Or you can check them out online, thepowerherbs.com. The Power Herbs. Now, if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Professional strength, certified organic, till standard formulas. Can't go wrong with that. All right, I'm out of time, so I hope you have a great weekend. And the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well. Yeah.